Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The middle. That's not necessarily truthful. I'll just have to wait to get to you a little later. But we're just going to have to talk to Greg Schwartz. Shout out to him, Greg Schwartz. And we're going to go back. Hold on, DJ and Henry. We'll go back to the North Olmsted Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, Ram hotline and bring in Greg Schwartz of the Bleacher Report. How you doing today?
I'm doing good. It's good to hear your voice again.
Hey, man, it's good to hear you, man. You all right? You good? Everything good with you and your family?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Missing basketball, but other than that, we're good.
Man, it's crazy out here, man. You know, I was looking at it, and every single day that it goes by a little bit, man, it just seems like the sports that have were going on while COVID-19 situation hit, every single day it goes by, it just feels like it's a little more out of reach or a little more far-fetched that the season's gonna, actually start again. Do you kind of get that feeling like every single day that goes past that the season's not going to start?
It's tough. It's kind of day by day now. I know the NBA owners are, meeting and talking on a regular basis of what they think is the best and safest plan to return to action. I think we are going to eventually get to finish this NBA season. I think it's going to look very different from when we left off in the middle of March. But I think the NBA just has too much at stake to not finish this out. There's too much money to be made from TV deals. There's too much on the line in terms of legacy when you're talking about, LeBron with the number one seed and could he win his fourth title? And obviously, like Giannis and Milwaukee and how much a title would mean to that city and his free agency coming up in 2021. There's too many storylines and there's too much money at stake, I think, for them to completely cancel this season. So I think we should be optimistic that we're still going to see NBA basketball at some point this summer.
One of the things that one of the callers asked me this and they just brought that up is, what do you do about the teams if they're not going to, say, for instance, let any regular season games, they're not going to, finish the regular season out or anything. They're just going to put the top 8 seeds into the playoffs. What do you do about the teams that were maybe a game out, 2 games out, maybe teams that were streaking? How do you handle that? Do you think there'll be any pushback from those teams that just missed the playoffs in that sense?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think the Eastern Conference is pretty much decided. The Washington Wizards are in the 9th seed with like a 24-40 record. They weren't going to make the playoffs anyways. But if you look at the West, yeah, you'd have a lot of teams complaining. You got the Memphis Grizzlies that are in the 8th seed, but they're only about 3 or 4 games ahead of teams like the Spurs, the Kings, the Pelicans, the Blazers. I mean, there's a lot of teams competing for that 8th seed, in the Western Conference. And, in the big picture, would it matter? Are any of those teams going to knock off the Lakers at number one? Probably not. But it's still important that, especially for like a young team like New Orleans or a young team like Memphis to get that playoff experience. So I'm sure they're going to fight hard for that. For a team like San Antonio, who's made the playoffs for 22 straight years, who has a chance to break the record for most playoff appearances, consecutive ones in NBA history. I mean, it's kind of a big deal. And so if you canceled the rest of the regular season and you went straight to the playoffs, yeah, you get a lot of pushback and complaint from those teams. And, you know, I would say that would be fair. That being said, I don't think they're going to have time to play. Most teams have about 18 games left in the regular season. I think there's around 250 total games or so that have to be played total. If they want to completely finish the regular season, I don't think that's going to happen. I think what they would have to do is they would have to come to some sort of agreement that says, look, we understand you don't want to go straight to the playoffs. We understand some of these young teams, you know, you still want to make some TV money. You still want to have a chance at the playoffs. But we realistically, we don't have time to play all these. So I don't know if they would have to come to an agreement amongst the owners and say, okay, look, you know, we don't have time for all 18. You know, would you be okay with 10? And then that would still give teams, you know, like Portland and New Orleans, the ones that I mentioned that are like three and a half games out, that would still give them, you know, theoretically a fair chance at the playoffs and not completely cut them out. And, you know, it'd be more realistic that you could actually finish off not a full 82-game regular season, but, you know, maybe a 69, 70, 71-game regular season. And, you know, that would be better than nothing.
Talking to Greg Schwartz of the Bleacher Report on the Northampton Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. You know, I want to ask you this question. Obviously, the whole world is watching, you know, the Bulls documentary. It's pretty much kept us alive during this whole COVID-19 thing. I think it's between that and Tiger King. It's been keeping us alive as far as watching the sports. Let me ask you this question. When they're filming this thing and you're watching it and you get an opportunity to see it, maybe, you know, 20 years almost, or you know, the last in 1998 or when the Bulls dynasty ended. And we look at that storyline of what the Bulls went through all the way back through there. Do you believe, and as I'm watching it, I'm sitting here watching it through the lens of the saga that Cleveland has gone through in terms of the LeBron James coming up through high school when that happened. And I started from Canton, being going to McKinley and him going to Akron St. Vincent St. Mary. I started hearing about LeBron James probably starting in about 2002, 2003, 2001 in that area. And he comes through St. Vincent and then get drafted by the Cavs. And then you have him being all that stuff. Do you think LeBron and his story, him coming from here or Akron, him getting drafted by the Cavs, rookie of the year, going to the finals, leaving, jersey burning, and then coming back home, returning home, and then leaving again, going to L.A., do you believe that story could potentially be bigger than Michael Jordan's story is if we fast forward about 20 years and they do a documentary?
I think if you ask people from Chicago, they would say no. I think if you ask people from Cleveland, they would say yes. I'm biased. I'm from Worcester, Ohio, so I grew up near Akron. I went to the University of Akron, so I would absolutely say yes. Jordan, obviously, and both. I mean, there's so many interesting storylines from the first three-peat, from the second three-peat, from, you know, kind of knocking off the Pistons and claiming their throne. But, you know, if you just look at the finals experiences for Jordan were boring compared to the finals experiences for LeBron. You know, Jordan never played a 73-win Golden State Warriors team that had four All-Stars on it. You know, he never played a team that good in the finals. Jordan was never down 3-1 in the finals and had to come back and put the team on his back and come back. You know, like, there's, in terms of pure entertainment, I feel like that would be more interesting. You look at, you know, LeBron's first finals as a member of the first finals in Miami, I guess I should say, when they're playing the Dallas Mavericks, and, you know, all the storylines with, you know, casting LeBron as a villain and probably the darkest time in his career and him only scoring 8 points in game four and then redemption the next year when they knock off Oklahoma City and he gets his first title. And, you know, obviously the title in Cleveland that, you know, maybe I'm biased, but I feel like that title and the way they won it and the team that they beat, you know, overcoming that and winning that title, that probably means more than any of Jordan's titles. And obviously Jordan's titles were very important, but, you know, he never had to play a 73-win team. He never had to come back from 3-1 and, So, I would say absolutely. When you look at all the storylines, the decision, the leaving Cleveland, the coming back to Cleveland, the leaving Cleveland again for L.A., you know, there's probably so much that we don't know.
The Kyrie Irving. The whole Kyrie Irving saga.
Sure. You look at all the coaching, David Blatt and all the different coaching changes he's gone through and stuff too. Yeah, I would absolutely say as fascinating as Jordan and his legacy are, LeBron's got so many more chapters to his. And he's going to end up with a career that's probably going to be 5 years longer than Jordan's too. And I think that's going to be taken into account as well.
Yeah, I just think, when you look at this thing, and I don't know what made me just think about it. And I just maybe think is because right now, because they are on hiatus from playing in the NBA right now, and LeBron and the Lakers are the number one seed, and they look like to be the favorites. You know, you look at that game they played against the Milwaukee Bucks, and it looks like, you know, LeBron and Anthony Davis were hitting on all cylinders, and it looks like they were going to be the favorites. And it just reminds me every time that LeBron gets to the playoffs, everybody is saying, okay, let me get to comparing him to LeBron or LeBron and Jordan. And I just look at so many storylines because it's wildly entertaining that the way they're shooting this documentary, because it's giving you the insight and the climate of the league at this specific time through the insight of coaches and players and other guys. And when you bring in Scottie Pippen and they're doing a whole section on Dennis Rodman, and just as interesting as Dennis Rodman is, you got Delonte West. Just as interesting as Scottie Pippen is, you have Kyrie Irving and his kind of quirkiness. So those guys are just as interesting as those other guys, and I think it would just be a crazy documentary. I think it'd be riveting. When you look at
And then throwing LeBron's first, then here the whole thing with Carlos Boozer leaving, and then you throw in LeBron's relationship with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh and Kevin Love, and he's had so many, interesting teammates over the years, where Jordan basically had, kind of the same core guys. You know, he was always with Scottie Pippen. He was with Dennis Rodman for three titles. He was with Horace Grant. Like, LeBron's definitely had a wider array of teammates, for better or worse. And, because of that, there's a lot of interesting storylines that could go along with that as well.
Yeah. When you look at this and you look at the climate in the NBA, do you think that the NBA, if they come back, do you think that they will do something creative? Say, for instance, if they come back and there's not enough days, do you think they'll do something like a tournament where they put the eight teams in or whatever teams they have and do a quick tournament? Or how will they handle it? Will they do, maybe a best of five instead of a best of seven? Do you think the NBA will get creative if they don't have enough time, or will they push the season late into the fall and still do the finals if they can't get it in during the summer?
I think they want to keep it as close to normal as possible. You don't want to run into a situation where, let's say you do have a tournament and, it's a really short tournament, single, double elimination, whatever it may be, just to say, okay, well, at least we got something in. Well, let's say a team like, the Denver Nuggets gets hot at the right time and they go and win a title. Is anybody going to accept them as champions? Or is everybody just going to say, well, it wasn't a true seven-game series. The Lakers would have beat them, or the Clippers would have beat them, or the Bucks would have beat them in the finals. Like, I feel like if it doesn't come down to one of those three teams, somebody's going to be upset about it and be like, okay, well, something went wrong. And I think they're going to question the legitimacy of that championship. Could you imagine where they play a single elimination tournament? The Lakers only have to win like four games and LeBron gets a title. Could you imagine all the Jordan supporters and the Kobe supporters questioning LeBron's fourth title and comparing that to the other ones? I think the NBA would want to avoid that at all costs. That being said, if you shorten the best of the first or second round to a best of five, obviously the NBA used to use a best of five in the first round. I think that would still carry a lot of merit. I think people would still respect the winner of that. If you still had to win three games instead of four games, I think that would still be acceptable. And if that means pushing everything back, if that means they don't play another regular season game until July or August or whatever it may be, I think the NBA would rather do that than just push everything back, not start the next season until Christmas. I think that would be a better alternative than to try to play some, you know, playing tournament or something funky where, you know, people don't truly respect and honor the winner of it.
When you look at it, and we're talking to Greg Schwartz of the Bleacher Report on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. How do you believe, you know, as far as the fiscal thing, is there a little bit of backlash from the Lakers taking the $4.5 million of stimulus money? That was a little eye-opening. Are teams really hurting when it comes to this COVID-19 thing? Because that was an eye-opening. When the Lakers are worth $4 billion and they take the $4.5 million, which seems to be something like that's pennies in a drop of a bucket, are teams really hurting like that if they're taking $4.5 million that is you know, been earmarked for small businesses? If the Lakers are taking that, how much of a financial hit are these teams taking, really?
Well, it's my understanding that teams had to apply. I could be wrong. I don't know all the details for this, but it was my understanding that teams had to apply for that stimulus money. So obviously somebody in the Lakers organization had to apply for that $4.5 million. But when they did get it, the report was that they weren't going to use it. They were going to return it, which didn't make sense to me, because why would you apply for it if you weren't going to use it anyway?
Yeah.
That being said, I think there was a report out that the Golden State Warriors were looking at a $50 million loss so far. Obviously, they were going to lose money this year anyways, with Steph Curry being out most of the year and Klay Thompson missing the whole year and Kevin Durant leaving. I mean, they were going to lose money anyways, especially with their payroll the way it is. But, yeah, I mean, you're talking about, you know, even as a billionaire, $50 million is a lot of money. And, you know, they're not going to make any more money for the rest of this year, no matter what, from ticket sales. The best they can hope for is TV money from, you know, if they do pick one central location, either a Las Vegas or a Walt Disney World, they play all the games there, they put all the players there, and they broadcast on that on TV, they could still recoup some money from TV deals. But, you know, everybody's going to lose a lot of money when you're talking about ticket sales and all that. That being said, you know, look how much NBA teams, the value of NBA teams increases. You know, Dan Gilbert paid roughly $350 million for the Cavaliers in 2005. Right now they're worth $1.3 billion. You know what I mean? Like, the value of NBA teams goes up so much that in the end, these owners aren't going to be affected that much, because no matter what they buy these teams for, they're going to sell them at a price that, you know, is either double, triple, whatever they paid for them, and they're going to make hundreds of millions, if not in the billions of dollars. Don't worry about the NBA owners. They're going to be just fine as long as they're taking care of, you know, their employees. And I know a lot of players have stepped up and donated money, kind of started off by Kevin Love. They're going to lose money, but, you know, at any time if they were really worried about their finances, they could simply sell the team and they would still make hundreds of millions of dollars.
Thank you very much, Greg. I need you to tell that to the people who say that our baseball team in town doesn't have any money.
yeah.
At any point in time, you could just simply sell the team, and you could recoup all the funds at a very nice profit. They're doing just fine. I appreciate you coming on today, and I hope we'll get some basketball back soon, and we'll talk to you very, very soon, hopefully.
That sounds good. Thanks for having me on.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.